the New Testament came after 400 years of silence from God. 400 years where the people heard nothing. So you'd think that the New Testament will start full of action and drama. But it doesn't. It starts with a list. A list. I mean, as if there aren't enough lists in the Old Testament to keep you going for weeks. They go and they start the New Testament with a list. Well, it better be a good one. Unfortunately, and fortunately, not unfortunately, this is a really good list. It's not just any list. It's a list of Jesus' ancestors, all the way from Abraham, right down to Mary and Joseph. There are not many women on that list. In fact, of the 46 names, there are only 5 women. And today's woman of faith, today's Advent woman, is one of them. Rahab lived in the fortress city of Jericho near the River Jordan. And despite living in a walled city, Rahab was an outsider in her community. Her profession, the oldest in the book, meant she didn't have many friends, and most of the people she met were not the sort of people she'd want to be friends with anyway. But all of that, you know, is about to change. Because at the moment, whenever she goes to the shops, all she sees are the faces looking back at her, the faces showing pity towards her, and that just reinforces inside how she feels. Alone and scared. What if she needed help moving or needed a cup of flour in a hurry? Who could she turn to? Everywhere she looked, the same faces would stare back at her. No wonder she felt like a stranger in her own home. But like I said, that's about to change. One evening, Rahab opened the door to find 2 strangers on her step. Now, 2 men entering Rahab's house is not the kind of thing that was going to raise eyebrows. But these 2 men were different. For a start, they were from the tribes of Israel, which, as far as everybody else was concerned, were camped on the other side of the River Jordan, not too far from the city. Rahab quickly realized that these men would attract the attention of the king of Jericho. So she set about hiding them on her roof, some carefully placed bundles of flax, and they were hidden nicely from sight. Now it turns out that someone had told the king that they were there, and not only that, they'd told the king that the men were at Rahab's house. So the king, doing as the king does, sent his men to fetch them. What Rahab did next would start her journey from being an outsider to being fully accepted. She lied. Not just a little white lie to protect someone's feelings. Oh no, this was a whopper. And she did it to the king's men. In essence, she lied to the king himself. And that's the kind of thing that has you end up dead. On the outside, Rahab was cool, calm, and collected, looking the captain of the king's guard right in the eye. But on the inside, she was a big bundle of nerves. The fear had her stomach tied up in knots. There were chills running up and down her spine. The thought of what would happen if she got caught was not something she wanted to dwell on. If only these men would leave, then she could go and talk to the men on the roof and tell them the things that were inside her that were bursting to come out. The 2 men on the roof were waiting with bated breath to see if their host would give them over to the king, to see if she would turn them over to save herself. Would they face death at the order of the king? And if they didn't return, would Joshua and the other Israelites come to get them? So many unanswerable questions were going through their head as they waited to see what would happen. Finally, they heard the sounds of the king's men disappearing towards the city gates. And not long after that, they heard the city gates closing for the night. Shortly after this, Rahab made her way up the stairs to talk with the men. The truth that she couldn't wait to share was bursting from her. How often have you had something, a revelation from God, that you just couldn't wait to share with someone? It was just like that for her. She told them about how all the people in the land were terrified of the Israelites because of the things that they'd heard God had done for them, allowing them to pass on dry land through the Red Sea as they left Egypt, the destruction of the two Amorite kings, Sihon and Og, and all of their people. The people even knew that God was going to give Jericho into the hands of the Israelites. These things that she told them were common knowledge among the people of the land. But what she said next, the very next words out of her mouth, were her own revelation. She told the men, "For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below." Now this is a pretty big statement in itself, and an even bigger statement coming from a member of a pagan society who would worship lots of different gods and idols for every little purpose there was. To confess a faith in one God, let alone the God of the Israelites, that was a mighty courageous thing to have done. But the next thing she did was even more courageous. She asked to be saved from the destruction of the city. And not just her, but her family as well. The spies gave the word that this would happen, but with a couple of provisos. One being that any member of her family who left the house would not be under the protection anymore, and if they died, that's what happened. And the second was that she would have to leave a scarlet rope hanging from her window from that night forward. That same rope Rahab used to lower the spies down to the ground. It was quite handy in a way that her house was built into the city walls, but for her it was just another sign of how much of an outsider she was. And like the blood on the doorways of Egypt, that scarlet rope marked her house as a place that death would pass over. Rahab and her family were packed into their house. For a week, they'd watched the Israelites marching around the city in silence once a day. But today had been different. So far today, they'd marched around the city 6 times in complete silence. Would this be the day? No one in the room could look at each other. They were so busy wrapped up in their own thoughts. Then all of a sudden, a noise like no noise heard before came from the Israelites. Singing, drums, horns, every noise that the Israelites could make, they made. And almost before the people in the room realized where the noise was coming from, the rumbling started. Suddenly, Rahab was gripped with fear. Would she and her family survive? Or would they perish with the city? Her eyes were locked on the end of the scarlet rope that was the sign that would save her. As it became obvious that she and her family were safe, Rahab was overcome with a mixture of sorrow and joy. And that mixture of sorrow and joy is something I'm fairly familiar with at the moment. Earlier this year, my grandfather died, and while he was fortunate enough to have met Hester, he unfortunately never got the chance to meet our kids. So this Christmas, we've decided we're going to go down to Christchurch. My brother's coming, and my sister's coming from Sydney. And I've got lots of aunts and uncles who are going to be there too. But most importantly, my nana's going to be there. And while Grandad won't be there, and that's a source for sorrow, Nana's going to get to meet the kids. And that's the sort of joy that I can really get my teeth into. In Rahab's case, that sorrow wasn't just for one life, but for all the lives lost in the city. The people who weren't given the chance that she was. But there was also joy. Joy at being alive and knowing that there was a God in heaven who loved her so much that he would save her from that destruction. When the dust had settled, Rahab and her family made their way to the Israelite camp. And Rahab completed her journey from outsider to fully accepted. The sorrow faded away as she saw the joy on the faces of the Israelites and the joy welling up in her as she came to know what it was to be part of something, not to be on the outside looking in. She belonged. Rahab and her family lived among the Israelites from that day forward. So accepted was Rahab that she's in the family tree of Jesus. The same Jesus who is the ultimate path from the outside to full acceptance. It's the same Jesus that led me to full acceptance. A while back I moved to Australia and didn't really have many friends or many places to go. So being a foreigner in a foreign land, I felt a bit like I didn't belong. But I had a flatmate, Gary. We're really good mates now. And he was a Christian, and he found it hard not having too many friends and too many places to go, but he still maintained a really solid faith in God. And through watching how he lived his life, I started to notice that the way I lived my life was changing. I started watching the sort of activities I got involved in, the words I was using, the things I was looking at. In essence, on the outside, I was living a fairly Christian-looking life, but there was one vital ingredient missing. Then, on Halloween 2003, I found myself in bed, unable to sleep. Something was telling me to look for what was missing. So I picked up the Bible I had by the bed, which I did have one, even though I didn't really have a lot of belief in it at the time, and read through Matthew. Suddenly, I knew what was missing. At 10:56 p.m. that night, I remember because I was looking straight at the clock, I prayed and asked Jesus to dwell in my heart. And everybody has a different story about what happened for them when they prayed that prayer. But for me, it's a feeling I'm never going to forget. I suddenly had an overwhelming sense the moment I said amen that I belonged to something. That there was a community I belonged to, even in a foreign land. And that feeling of acceptance and belonging is what Rahab must have felt when she joined with the Israelites. And so it is with us. At one time, we were on the outside, looking in. But now, through Jesus, we are fully accepted into his kingdom with all the joy that brings.